And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome in. Of course, this is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, as the gentleman said. Phone lines are going to be open for the next hour, 201-939-4513. If you want to get in on the show, that's how you do it. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Giants. Any questions or comments about the show, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and we will share your tweets and respond to your tweets. So, Paul, first and foremost, our first opportunity to talk ever since preseason game, number three for the Giants, two for most, but three for the Giants. Yes, they beat the Colts. They're 3-0 in the postseason, but obviously the biggest concern right now is the fact that the first-team offense really has not been able to generate any kind of groove, vibe, consistency, success right now. And it has to be a huge, huge concern.
It's been as rough as sandpaper, Anita. And Coach Coughlin mentioned it yesterday. He's told the leaders on this team and everybody on this team there's a sense of urgency. They've got to be on par. They've got to produce to the standard that he set for them, that they expect of themselves, so that they can move forward. If you're not getting the kind of play that you expect from the guys who you've already gotten here and who are supposed to be reliable, it's awfully hard to get that kind of play out of the new guys who are trying to work into the system. And so Victor Cruz said the message was felt loud and clear. When I talked to Tom Coughlin later on after practice yesterday, he said he hoped that all of the veterans on this team understood what was going on and had communicated it to the rest of the guys in the locker room. He seemed fairly satisfied with practice yesterday, and so the Giants continue to prepare now for Game 4 against the Jets. Opening day, a couple of weeks away, September 8th against the Lions. Right now, it's hard to imagine this team is going to be 100% ready for that game. The question, of course, is what can they do to get themselves ready? And if they are not ready, are they still going to be good enough to win? Those are things that will be determined in time.
All right. Well, you know, you like to study the game. You watch a lot of game film. Put on your coaching cap for a second. What are you seeing? What's not working? What's wrong? What needs to be fixed? What is going on, Paul?
Well, I see a few things. Offensive line wise, they've been inconsistent, and there's growing pains there because there are guys that they've swapped in and out, and we all knew that they were trying to rebuild this offensive line, and it wasn't going to immediately gel from day one. It just doesn't work that way. And so they are going through some growing pains there, and Will Beatty finally got on the field the other day, and I'm glad to see him take the a little bit more than a dozen snaps. And I thought he fared okay in Indianapolis, but again, that was another change on the line because Charles Brown had been the left tackle the first couple of games. So then you've got him working with Jeff Schwartz, who, by the way, has been very inconsistent and I thought had his worst game of the preseason against the Colts. Walton's been solid at center. I don't think anybody would complain about him. And then Brandon Mosley, who's much improved at right guard, has been inconsistent. Now, we're happy to see, at least I should say the coaches are happy to see him improve over his first 2 years in the league. But that level of improvement then has to be steady. And it hasn't been steady. He's been rather up and down. And so that's one of the reasons why coaches thinking perhaps of doing something with this interior line. Pugh's been okay. He's a second-year player. He's still going to make some mistakes. I mean, he's not a 10-year vet, so he still will make occasional errors that you're going to have to live with because he's a young guy. So when you put all that together, Anita, it really, the fundamentals have always been the same here. The offensive line, when it doesn't play well, everything else, like a domino effect, tends to fall apart. So that's not really a surprise. But we are seeing now Weston Richburg, the second-round pick, yesterday got more snaps with the first team at left guard than he had prior. Jeff Schwartz is battling an achy knee. And the question is now, how much of his inconsistent play, especially last week, is because of the knee, and how much of it is because maybe he's having some trouble with the system? I don't know the answer to that right now. He admitted yesterday to the media that he had a horrible game against the Colts. He knows it. He's disappointed about it. He expects to bounce back and get himself back into gear. He would not use the balky knee as an excuse, to his credit. And so we move on. I believe that Weston Richburg will probably be the starting right guard against the Lions in week one, because I think that they're better off with him instead of Mosley. I think he'll win that job. But at the moment, I guess with Schwartz not playing well last week and with this knee thing, coach is looking at potentially Richburg sliding into that spot. That remains to be seen during the rest of the week of practice.
Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. I know we have a full bank of calls. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino on with you today.
People are up early this morning.
Till 10:30. talking Big Blue Kickoff Live. Before we do go to the calls, though, Paul, you just can't sit here and say that the only reason that this offense is struggling is because of the offensive line.
But that's the primary. That's the number one thing that dominoes down the line. Eli certainly does not look very comfortable right now. And the timing with his receivers, you and I both know a West Coast offense is more based in timing than any other offense that you could possibly run. You know that. That's the way it works. It's a real heavy-duty timing. Timing's not right between Eli and his receivers. It's not. You could see it. It's just so obvious. If a receiver is supposed to be running a four-second hitch and he's running a five-second hitch, and Eli throws the ball expecting the four, and the receiver's running a five, the timing's not right, and it gets screwed up, and it looks like Eli threw a horrible pass. He doesn't look comfortable. Let's not make any mistake about it. Eli does not look comfortable right now. But at the same time, I don't think his receivers are looking all that good either. And that's part of, I think, what you're alluding to.
Well, September 8th is going to be here before we know it. It's really quite frightening. Because this team, and not necessarily the defense, but more so the offense, they take the field at Ford Field against, a Detroit Lions team. They're not ready. So
not
what,
now.
Two weeks, right? We've got, 14 days, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that enough time to really turn this around? Honestly.
I'm not sure. I would be skeptical. Look, we sat here in these very seats last year after four preseason games and said the Giants are not ready for the season. Did we not? We saw it. We knew what was coming last year. We didn't know 0-6 was coming, but we knew it was going to be a bad start. You could see that. It was obvious. Right now, if they had to start the season tomorrow, it'd be bad. Now, we've also said the five preseason games were a benefit to this team for all of the millions of reasons we've talked about during the offseason, primarily, though, because of the new offensive scheme and the new players. Well, guess what? Looks like they're going to need every one of those games. In fact, they could probably use six instead of five, like the olden days when I was a kid. But they're not getting six.
And with that being said, typically, the first team doesn't necessarily play the last preseason game. That will be against the Patriots.
I have a hunch they will.
But more than likely, they will. Again, 201-939-4513. We head to our calls. We go to Gedalia. Gedalia, calling in from New Jersey. Gedalia, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh. Okay. All right, let's go to Rocky, calling in from Florida. Rocky.
Hello. How are you, Rocky? And he doesn't seem to want to say much either.
Okay. Third time's a charm. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you there?
Yeah, it's a little statically, but I can hear you. You got me?
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
I mentioned yesterday, Paul, there about Nassib. I called up about him going on the practice squad. And I believe, like you said, someone would nab him. But with Painter there, I still think if Eli would go down, I would prefer Painter. And I was just wondering, do you think maybe we should try to shop Nassib? Because I don't think we're going to use him in the next 4 or 5 years. Eli's going to be here, and I was just wondering, him or even maybe Gerald Jernigan, because I don't think he's going to be on the team either. I was just wondering your feelings on them.
All right, let's go backwards a second, and I know the question came up about Nassib's eligibility, And after the show was over, Lance reread the NFL rules on this. And the way it's worded is that if the player is on an active roster for more than 6 games, that eliminates him from practice squad contention. And Nassib was on the roster for a full 16 games last year. Now, he didn't play one snap, but he was on the active roster. So it is our contention that he is not eligible for the practice squad. So you can wipe that off of your mind. Quite frankly, with the way he's looked this preseason, he'd be claimed anyway. Even if he was as eligible and the Giants wanted to wave him through, he'd be taken. I mean, let's not make any mistake about that, because he's played well enough that somebody would grab him. Your thoughts about Jernigan? Look, Tom Coughlin said it himself yesterday. The couple of games that he had at the end of last season have not given him a mulligan on this summer. You like that, mulligan?
I do.
Golf lady over here. He needs to produce. He needs to perform. He needs to be on the field. And right now, he has had a very, very inconsistent summer. The kind of summer that, in my mind, would not give him a roster spot. But that's me. That's not Jerry Reese. That's not Tom Coughlin. You know, that's not the powers that be. If it were me, he would not be on this team. I don't think the evidence or the portfolio that he has put forth is enough to give him a spot. Trade him? Why would anybody trade for him if they think the Giants are going to cut him? And that's about all I really could say with that.
201-939-4513. I guess, you know, here's a good question for you, too, and that is, we've seen Eli struggle in this offense, and Nassib hasn't had as difficult time as Eli has.
No.
What do you equate that to?
A couple of things. First of all, Anita, Nassib is more mobile than Eli, and with some of the rollout stuff they're doing, you could see he feels better doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a surprise. I mean, Eli wears cement shoes, so he's going to have a little trouble doing some of that stuff.
Isn't this something we discussed? Isn't this a concern
we did
that we had prior to the season even beginning? Is this a system that really benefits Eli Manning?
It's something that he's working at and trying to get better at, but I think we all know that it's going to take effort on his part because it's just not natural for him. I think the other thing, and we probably didn't talk about this much, but I do think it's a factor. I asked Ryan this yesterday on the MSG show. The fact that he's so new and that he hasn't played in an old system for 10 years like Eli has. You know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, or at least it's certainly hard to do so. Well, Ryan Nassib is not an old dog. You know, he's only been in the Gilbride system for a year, and so to teach him new tricks is a lot easier than to teach Old Yeller new tricks. And so that's probably part of it, too.
You know, I don't want to call it an argument, but I had a debate with a Giants fan who's a friend of mine. And, you know, if you recall 2 years ago when Peyton Manning left the Colts and he kind of did this tour around the NFL, who wants me? And, what, a third of the teams, I mean, who does not want Peyton Manning as their starting quarterback? So he kind of did this LeBron James tour, right, and met with all these teams and all these owners and the general managers and the head coaches. And he went in with his game plan and said, I'm Peyton Manning, and this is the game plan I'm playing with. And you take the game plan with me. This is what I bring to the table. Take it or leave it. Oh, okay. Why is it Eli Manning deserves just as much respect? He's won 2 Super Bowls, MVP. He's been here a while. He's a veteran. He's not a rookie. I guess my question is, and maybe we don't know. I just don't get the sense that, you know, this is the best fit for Eli. Where's Eli saying this? Why does Peyton get to walk around and saying, I'm Peyton Manning, and if you want me to be your quarterback, then this is the system you have to play because this, and whew, look what's going on in Denver, boy. Why can't Eli have the same kind of chutzpah?
I don't know.
Okay.
What I will say is this. I will say this. They consulted with him when the offensive coordinator came in and said, okay, what's your favorite stuff? What do you really want to keep?
I don't see them using it.
But at this point, it doesn't look like they have very much.
No.
We're going to see. Hey, I will say this, Anita, and you and I do know this, and we've talked about this on the show with all the other hosts as well. The Giants are showing a lot of different things in practice that they haven't shown in the preseason games. And they do look better in practice, albeit not great. The offense does look better in practice than they have in the games. And they've been running a lot of different stuff that they have not run in the three preseason games.
Yeah,
that's
here,
not an excuse, though. That's not an excuse.
But here's another thing.
It's just a fact.
Here's another thing, Paul. You've got teams like the Green Bay Packers and the Patriots who have, you know, quarterbacks that have been in that system, and that's their system. And so, yeah, I can see them using preseason games kind of how baseball players use, or pitchers use, spring training, where they're kind of working on a certain pitch. They're trying to expand their repertoire in regard to how many pitches, what they can use. I get that. I don't think the Giants have that luxury.
They really don't.
They don't have the luxury to be like, oh, well, let's not use this till regular season game one.
You're right.
What?
That's why, to be honest with you.
So to sit here and say, well, whoa, we're not seeing everything. I don't think they have the luxury of not practicing everything during a game situation. That's frightening.
I'm hoping in the next two games we do get to see some more of that stuff, because I agree with you that the execution is way, way out of bounds right now. And the only way it's going to get better is if you see it in the games. I get what you're saying. And I'd like to see more of it. But, you know, again, I don't make those plans. So
201-939-4513. Also, we're monitoring Twitter, so you can hit us up at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Let's head out to Illinois. We have Stefan. Stefan, welcome.
Hello.
Stefan,
hi.
You there?
I think a lot of folks have fallen asleep on the phone this morning. They woke up too early. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there. We hear you.
Hello?
Yes,
sir. Hello? We're going to have to go to the next call.
Okay. Deshae. Let's go to Deshae in Atlanta. Deshae, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to say, first off, I agree completely with what you said, Anita, about they don't have room to hold back plays. I mean, forget this, let's wait regular season, man. These teams, we're going to go – Detroit's going to be ready to go week one. We mess around, get hit in the mouth with Calvin Johnson and them, you know, and I don't like that. I just don't like that whole, oh, we're holding stuff back, we're installing a little at a time. Man, we're going to mess around and start out 0-4 again, 0-3 again if we don't get this stuff together. I just don't see any – I don't know. I'm very disappointed in this. In the preseason games, I know everybody want to say it's not important. It's important. I mean, Corey Washington, I think, should get reps with the first team, because look at Victor Cruz and Russell Wilson. Where would they be without preseason games? Where would their careers be? So, I mean, I don't know why everybody's downplaying preseason like it's nothing. It's very important to me. I'd just like to get you all take on that.
Well, the only thing I would add to that, and I don't equate it that it's going to be exactly the same, but it certainly opens up the possibility that things will get better over the course of time. When Steve Spagnuolo got here as the defensive coordinator and he changed the entire defense after Bill Sheridan, the Giants needed not only the full preseason but the first 2 weeks of the regular season to get used to it. They gave up something like 90 points in those first two games, like 900 yards of offense. They were on track to become the worst defense in the history of the league. And then by week three, they started to get it. I think, to be honest with you, it would not surprise me if that's what happens with this offense. If the Giants' offense doesn't truly start to click until three or four games into the regular season, I would not be surprised at all. So the question remains, are they going to be good enough, either on special teams or defense, or decent enough on offense, to win a couple of those games? Because you're right. And I think everybody in this building agrees, if the Giants start, let's say, 0-4, it is a major, major problem. This is a team that's, you know, Lions, Cardinals, Texans, Redskins. I'm saying they got to go 2-2 out of those first four games while they're getting their feet wet like a boxer would in the first three rounds of a fight. If they could pull that off, I think you could reasonably expect them to be in sync and then try to navigate the rest of the schedule.
Well, first and foremost, the Lions' offense and how they've been able to improve this season. They add Golden Tate. Obviously, you have Megatron. They draft a stud tight end. They're going to go to that two tight end set.
Right.
The way that they utilize Reggie Bush in that backfield and that passing attack.
And they're pretty good at home, too. That's a tough game.
Yeah, they're great at home. This is going to be a defensive battle. I mean, we've been talking a lot about the Giants secondary. They've got their test set up for them in game one against the Lions. I think that game does come down to the defense. You know, can the defense hold down that Lions' very explosive offense they're bringing to the table this year? The Cardinals, unfortunately, they lose Darnell Dockett yesterday.
Horrible.
They're anticipating a torn ACL and MCL. He's kind of the straw that stirs that drink for that Cardinals defense, let alone that defensive line. And you know how that Cardinals defense is good. I think Michael Floyd this year is going to be the number one wide receiver for the Cardinals. I think he's going to leap over Larry Fitzgerald. It's the fantasy football girl in me talking. But nonetheless, Andre Ellington is their starting running back now, and he is so athletic. He is so explosive. He is really fantastic. These are two very difficult games, and then the Texans. Have you seen Clowney yet?
No.
I am worried for Eli, that game. I'll be surprised if Eli makes it out alive. So, I don't know, Paul. I've got some concerns. I've got some big concerns. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Muggs. Nugs. In Minnesota. Nugs, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Once again, Nita, you've got bulletin board material. I hope they put it up.
Hey, I'm just being honest. I mean.
Oh yeah, yeah. You've been 150.
I mean, I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sit here and. You know, I work for the team. I'm not going to sit here and drink the Kool-Aid, too. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying to an extent. I watched the Colts game, and I'm more concerned about our fourth and fifth cornerbacks because it seemed to me like the Colts really moved the ball when they spread us out in that like four and five wide, you know what I mean, and kind of just had the field just open for Andrew Luck, and everybody seemed like they had to man up, and it seemed like that's going to be the game plan again, you know what I'm saying, because...
Well, here's what I will say. I'm going to stop you right there, because as far as the defense is concerned, here's what I will say, and this does not play into what Anita talked about before with trying to see some of the offensive plays in games, because you have to find out how they're going to work. Defensively, Perry Fuel's been here for a while. Most of these defensive players have been here at least for a year or two, and they truly are going vanilla, 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 vanilla on defense. And talking to John Beeson about it yesterday, he said the very same thing. Defensively, they know what they've got. They know the players who are on this team. They know the schemes that Perry Fuel runs. They've seen it work before, certainly in really good stretches. They're not showing anything defensively in these preseason games whatsoever. And I think you would say that the starting defensive units actually played pretty well in the first three preseason games, to be honest with you anyway.
I figured that. And I'm not one of these Giants fans who's like, you know, I've been a Giants fan since 86. You know, Lawrence Taylor was the first player I ever knew, so I've just been loyal to the team ever since then. I'm not one of these Giants fans who's like at DEFCON 5, like, oh, my God, you know, show us what you're going to be running in week 8 and let's see if it works. You know what I mean? You got to think about it. At the same time, and I'm talking to Giants fans right now, Bob McAdoo came from Green Bay. I'm pretty sure there's going to be tape out there on some of the stuff that he's bringing out here. So it doesn't behoove him to really show too much right now. And this is really basically the second preseason game. This isn't in the third preseason game. It's the third one for us. So Giants fans are like, oh, my God, this is the third preseason game. But to the rest of the league, this is really the second preseason game. Let's see what happens when they get a whole half. I believe that Mr. Washington should get a couple looks with the ones, and he's really big. Like, he's really big. He reminds me kind of like a David Boston or something. I hope he's not on roids too, but I wouldn't mind.
Where did that come from?
I mean, because I've been reading a lot about him, and I've been seeing like the highlights on the website, but I actually watched the game and was looking at him like that's a really big boy, and I hope that he can make the 53 and give us a kind of a red zone target, you know.
Well, they're listing him at 6'4", 214, and yes, he has been very productive, and I would find it very difficult to believe he won't be on the 53.
Me too. But the thing that really is concerning me is the lack of a pass rush. It seemed like they're just not getting there. That's what I was listening yesterday, and I heard you talking about JPP, and you were like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's not so much about him getting sacks right now. It's about his athleticism looking like it's back in. That kind of stuff.
He needs to look quick. That's my test for him right now. Just look quick again. Whether or not he gets there at the moment is not important to me. I just need to know that he's physically back in tune, because then his confidence will come back, and then you'll be able to judge where he's at. But that's also a building process, because this guy really hasn't been healthy in a game for 2 years.
And that's what I'm saying. It seems like we're trying to rebuild the old mold that won us, you know, the old rings. You know, pressure from the front four, make the ball get out quick. Hopefully our secondary doesn't get exposed because they don't have to cover that long. And I'm just thinking, like, maybe it's time for us to try to win differently.
Oh, no, time out, my friend. No, time out, time out. I gotta correct your statement there, because what they've done is, by investing a lot of money in the back seven with guys like Thurmond and Rogers Cromartie and Will Demps and Jameel McClain at linebacker, the Giants have decided to fortify the back seven to see if they can use more of a strategy that will employ those guys as the primary defensive culprits, as opposed to putting it all on the front four. They've gone in the reverse on this now. And you could tell that just by the amount of players and the amount of money they've spent on those guys. This is not the old Giants philosophy of the front four's got to get the pass rush to make it happen. They've actually gone in the other direction, which is more the Seahawks' direction from last season. So please don't misinterpret that.
Doesn't the front four have to? Don't they have to get home at some point?
Well, sure.
I mean, it seems like I know we've invested a lot in our secondary, and we should. But remember that we only went that route when it was clear that our front four can't get there. So if we have invested so much in our secondary, what do we need to do to get some pressure?
Well, the idea is that would be lethal,
but it still doesn't seem like it's happening. It still doesn't seem like that's what I can look forward to as a fan, like our front four being somewhat dominant. They don't need to be 0-7 or 11.
No, they're not going to be that.
At least be a shell of themselves.
OC's not here. Michael's not here. Justin Tuck's not here. You had some pretty special pass rushers on those teams. You don't have that now. Even though JPP is trying to come back to that level, you don't have those guys across the board. So what you're trying to do is to hold up folks in the back end of your defense for an extra half a second so that the usual standard pedestrian front four guys can then do what they need to do to get home. That's what this is all about. And why is that important? Well, it's important because, as I've just told you, they've gone totally vanilla on defense. And they don't have to necessarily get complex on defense right now to run plays, because the guys they have back there understand it. When they start getting complex back there, they will hold people up, and the anticipation is that the front four will then do a better job. But they don't need to show that right now. They really don't.
I will not get worried until week four. That's who I am. I'm not going to get worried till week four. To kind of answer what Anita just said, Eli doesn't get to choose his shots like that, because he's Eli Dangerfield and he gets no respect. It doesn't matter what Eli does. Eli could go out and win another Super Bowl this year. And next year, guess what? They'll be still saying it was luck. They'll be still saying Peyton was better. And, you know, that's just what it is. He can't call no shots. And plus, on top of that, he just came off of a season where he threw 27 interceptions. And, yeah, it wasn't all his fault. And, you know, everything broke down around him. But it's like, who cares? Nobody's going to look into that. All the average person's going to do is, you know, just look at his stats and say, okay, he had under 4,000 yards. And he threw 27 interceptions, so he doesn't deserve to have a system.
I got you, man. I got you. We got a bunch of other folks we got to get to, but it was a good call. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, you are listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Obviously the hot topic today and probably till the Jets game on Friday, hoping to see some type of improvement on the offensive side of the ball. Here's a tweet. You can tweet us. Find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Here's a tweet from Swag Sauce. Why haven't we given Corey Washington a chance with the starters?
Well, he's actually taken some first and second team snaps during the week in practice, but it's an interesting question because the other day against the Colts, I really thought that we would see him earlier than the fourth quarter. But Tom Coughlin chose to just play him on special teams earlier in the game, put him in the fourth, and then obviously he produced and caught the game-winning touchdown pass for the third weekend in a row. Now, is this the week that he gets earlier action in the game? Perhaps. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why Tom decided to hold him back again. But I will tell you this, Anita. Yesterday, Corey Washington probably had his best day of practice, and he's had a lot of good ones. Yesterday, he was terrific. I mean, he's catching everything that's thrown his way. He fights for the ball. I mean, how many times have we talked about that? Guys who have to go get it. You know, that's my ball. It's mine. You're not getting it. It's mine. That's the mentality you have to have. Nick showed that earlier in his career, but then didn't at the end. That's what this Corey Washington has shown me.
You know what I've seen is I've seen him get a lot more aggressive as camp has continued, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's having success, and there's a lot of hype, and there's a lot of excitement, and that I think he has fed off of that, and so I believe we've seen him get even better because he's having so much success, and he's got a little bit more swag in his step right now.
Oh, he does.
Yeah,
he does.
Than when he first got here.
But at the same time, I think the core of the fundamentals in his game were there from the beginning, because you can't just all of a sudden do that. You have to be fundamentally sound to play the kind of ball he's played. And he's a good guy, too. So let's see how it shakes out the next couple of weeks in terms of where he gets his reps. But I think right now, unless he just totally falls on his face, he'll be on the 53.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Stas calling from...
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Stas from Washington.
Washington.
There you go.
There
hey, so real quick, on your last caller, I think sometimes people forget that these, especially our ends in the preseason, they're only getting 15 snaps or so, and a pass rush is definitely set up. You know, you set your opponent up to sack a quarterback. You
sure.
may bum rush him, you know, four or five times, or hit him with a certain move four or five times, get him to anticipate one move, then you hit him with the other move. That's how you get the tackle. That's how you get the sack of me.
Yeah, but you know, fans want to see, my friend. Fans want to see you go out there first series, unleash the dogs, and get three sacks in a row. You know that's what they want.
But they got to calm down. They got to calm down. It's preseason football. There's no strategy going on right now. Right now, we're playing checkers. In the season, we're going to be playing chess. Two different games. The one thing, though, I do got to give it to you 1,000%. You said it. I called in last week, and I said it, is that, man, Corey Washington is the anti-Ramsey's Barden. Like, he's a big body who plays like a big body, and I love that about him. Now, granted, he's only going up against 3 and 4s. I'd love to see what he's going to do against some 1 and 2.
Right.
But it is refreshing to see somebody go up and fight for the ball. We haven't seen that since, like you said, maybe 2011, Hakeem Nicks.
But, you know, here's the interesting part about it. If Corey Washington does, in fact, become part of the Giants receiver rotation and not just make the 53 but gets a jersey on game day, chances are he would probably wind up being the fourth receiver anyway in a four-wide set. which means he's going against the fourth best cornerback on the other team. So he's not going to be going up against the first, second, or third best corner on somebody else's defense. He'll be going up against their fourth guy. So to be perfectly frank with you, I don't think it's that much of a reach to say he's going to be able to still produce. I don't think it's that far off what we're seeing now. I really don't. Because he's going up against their fourth corner. You know what I mean?
I agree. I completely agree. I just it's just exciting to see him go out there. But, you know, it's interesting you guys brought up earlier about Nassib. That's something else that we got to keep in mind, that Nassib is playing against the third and fourth string defensive players for the most part, and there's a lot of imperfect football going on when you get in that far in the depth chart. So it's a lot easier to complete a pass. Their pass rush isn't producing that as much of a push. He does have the luxury of rolling out. I will give you that. He does have some wheels on him, and he has nice zip on the ball. I'm not diminishing the kid, but I think to compare what Eli Manning and what Nassib is going to is kind of apples and oranges in a lot of ways, because it's the same way we're saying Corey Washington is going up against, you know, threes and fours. So is Ryan Nassib. He's throwing against threes and fours, and he's throwing against the starting third rotation of quarterbacks.
Well, let me just say,
third best cornerback.
Nobody in this room, and Anita, I think you'll second this, no one in this room is saying that Ryan Nassib should start over Eli Manning, but what we are saying is Ryan Nassib's improvement since what he showed last year on the practice field is certainly put him on this team, at least in my mind, because he looks like he's competent now, that he can actually run an offense.
And we talked about it earlier. He's grasping and being able to execute this offense better than we've seen Eli Manning do it.
It's been a pleasant surprise because, quite honestly, I didn't see a lot of really great things out of Nassib in practice last year. So, you know, maybe it truly has to do with the system. Maybe Ryan Nassib just really likes this system even more than we thought. But yeah, no one's saying that he needs to be the starting quarterback.
You know, I think it's important that fans realize how important a system is. Did you watch the Cleveland game last night?
Saw parts of it.
So Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, they played a lot of time. Like, Hoyer came in with the first team, Manziel came in with the first team. Then Hoyer came back in, Manziel came back in. They played all the way into the fourth quarter, okay? And what they did is they're using two different offensive systems and schemes for each quarterback. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, brilliant. Because I want to say at one point in time, I think it was at the end of the half, Johnny Manziel had run like 17 pistol plays. Mm-hmm. Where Hoyer had run none. So,
nor should he.
Exactly. So, you know, to sit here and say that, oh, well, Nassib is a better quarterback than Eli Manning, no, that's not what we're saying.
Right.
What we're saying is a system is extremely important to the success of a quarterback. And so maybe this system benefits Nassib more than it benefits Eli. Doesn't mean Nassib is the better quarterback. It just means he is being able to execute this system maybe a little bit better than Eli is right now. Let's go to Keyshawn calling in from Maryland. Keyshawn, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello. Hello. Keyshawn.
Hello.
There you go. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Hello. I can't hear you guys. I can only hear you guys on the website.
All right. Well, I can't explain that, but if you have a question, fire away, and then we'll answer it while you hang up. How about that? Okay? That's not working out too well. I think we're going to have to go to the next call. I'm not sure what's going on with these phone lines today.
Well, I guess the app's not working, so.
Maybe not.
Let's go to Derek calling in from Atlanta. Derek, you got us?
Yes. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing today, Piot?
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, it's a good day. They're going to be outside practicing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was seeing a couple of, looking at the game. I talked to you already about how unsettled I looked. I saw Eli, so we're going to go back there. But I also noticed when I was watching the game over how some players are not in the position I would think they were supposed to be. Like, Jarrell Jernigan was playing wide receiver instead of slot receiver. And I saw...
But before you go any further, Anita, okay. Second me on this if you can, and if you disagree, that's okay too. See, that's part of why I'm not a proponent of Jarrell Jernigan on the 53, because I think he is a slot receiver exclusively.
But he has not played that here. It's not just Gilbride didn't even use him as a slot receiver.
The problem being, though, that last year when he produced in the final couple of weeks of the season, Cruz was out and Jernigan was the slot guy.
Right.
And that's when he showed what people want to see from him.
Right.
But now, with Cruz back in the lineup, Jernigan plays outside in practice and in the preseason games, and I don't see much from him out there. And that, to me, that's one of the big points as to why I don't think he fits this team.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Right? Because I think, as Tom Coughlin thinks, you got to be able to play the X, the Y, the Z, or at least two of them. If you can only play one of them, that's a problem for me. And I think it's a problem for Tom. So let me just, you know, throw that out. And you agree?
Yes.
I agree. And I was wondering why they don't give him a shot in the slot just to see what he can do rather than just keep him out there.
No, but they already have seen a sample of what he can do in the slot. They need to see if he can play the other two spots effectively, which he hasn't shown.
I mean, I'm being fair. Now, the question now is, can you afford to cut him with Beckham's status as it is?
Well, now that's a very interesting question, because Odell Beckham yesterday took some punt return drills, then went out there and took some snaps in practice, and then went over to the side, looked like he was flexing his leg, looked like he was feeling his leg, massaging his leg, and then did not participate in the rest of practice. And so the media, all of us, thought that he had re-injured himself and that the hammy was tweaked once again. And so when we got to the end of practice and we asked Tom Coughlin said he didn't know anything about it, and it was a mystery to him at that point. So he asked Pat Hanlon, the VP of Communications, who said that he had already talked to Jerry Reese, and Hanlon said that Beckham told Jerry Reese that he was fine, that there was no problem. So Tom said, okay, I guess he's fine. We move on. I'm not really sure what to say about Odell Beckham right now, other than we haven't seen what we need to see from him. Obviously, he's a first-round pick. He's going to be on the team. They got big plans for him. But it would be nice. It really, really would be nice if we could all see something on the field. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It would be nice. Originally, he was supposed to play against the Jets this weekend.
Right.
Now, depending upon what he does the next couple of days of practice, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure he's going to make it.
What was the reason why he didn't participate in the wide receiving corps yesterday?
Well, again, he took a few snaps. In fact, he caught a nice crossing route where he looked as quick as a cat. And then right after that, he ran over to the sideline and started flexing his leg. And he's telling Jerry Reese, and he's fine? Okay, well, if you were so fine, could you have gone out and run some more routes? Maybe?
Maybe. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you, with you for the next 15 minutes, trying to get as many calls in as we can. We love them. Keep them coming. We're going to go to Lynn in Maryland. The show is never complete without Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you, Anita. I appreciate that. All I can say about the other night was that was scary bad. Just scary bad. It reminded me of two things. One, JV scrimmaging the varsity. And secondly, it reminds me of a team that moved their Saturday practice to Indianapolis to play a team who came to play a game. And I think, to me, that's what just summed it up. That was another practice session for the Giants with little energy, little enthusiasm, until the young guys got in, until the second and the third stringers. And, you know, why success? I think those second and third stringers are probably better than Indianapolis' second and third stringers and fourth stringers, because we still got 90 guys on the roster. I'm like probably most people, and I don't understand why it isn't. All people, if you're not worried about this offense at this point, I think you should be. I think with Beckham, his whole career with us is going to be managing that hamstring. That doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to be able to play well for us. I just get the feeling, and if we look back and we look hard enough to his situation at LSU, we're going to find out that that's what they had to do at LSU, with his help, of course. Just manage it. And eventually this guy's going to get out on the field, and I think he's going to play very well for us. But I just get the feeling that we're going to be talking about this for a long, long time.
All right.
And it's going to become a management problem.
Len, time out. I want you to go into your living room right now and pull the shades up on your windows.
Okay.
Okay? Please.
Okay.
Look at the sun outside. I'm sure it's there. And I want you to go outside, pick up the morning newspaper, have some coffee, and re-energize yourself because it's a new day. That horrible piece of tape that was the Giants and Indianapolis Colts is gone. It's behind you. Look forward to what's going to happen the next couple of weeks against the Jets and the Patriots. Try to figure out what it is that you liked or what you think they might be able to do. To rehash that Colts game is just going to put you into a dark closet because that was about as ugly as it gets. I agree with you. But why is it on a Tuesday morning you want to beat yourself up with that game? That tape has been burned, trust me, by anybody who was part of that thing. They burned that thing. Let it go. It's a preseason game, for God's sakes.
You've got to be kidding, Paul.
Oh, man, you are really deep.
No, I'm not beat. I'm a Giants fan, tried and true, like everybody else who calls in. But if you're a Giants fan and you looked at that game, you don't want to draw anything from it?
Len, listen to me, okay?
Yeah.
Listen, seriously, I'm very, very serious about this. Don't take that game as seriously as you are. There are certain aspects of it that you have to take seriously. I agree with you. Obviously, certain units, certain players, you look at them, you grade them. What do you think I do? I watch these tapes twice over, so I've seen it. And I know how ugly it was. But I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, basically, the entire season is in a dumper because they played like absolute garbage in Indianapolis. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I wasn't. Well, do you think that was good the other night, Paul?
It was horrific. And Anita and I are the same people that told you after four preseason games last year that the start of the season was going to be bad because we knew the team wasn't ready. And after the second loss, Anita said they could be 0-6. And I said, you know, I could see it happening. And it did. So we are realists here.
And from a positive standpoint, I remember you saying that.
Am I not recalling this correctly?
I've been with you a long time. So, and I remember that.
So we're telling you the truth here. Right. We're not sugarcoating anything.
Okay.
We're giving you reality.
Okay.
But right now, you sound like you're ready to jump off a cliff.
Okay, look. There's no reason. I respect your opinion, Paul. Okay, and I'm going to call back again. I love the show. I love Anita. I'm not angry. Nothing. I'm not angry like that. But you and I are not going to talk about it anymore. Okay? But let me turn positive before I get off the phone. Anytime you play the Jets, I don't care if it's basketball or bowling, win the game. Win the darn game.
That's how Wellington Mara felt.
Let's go. Let's go, Giants.
Yeah. That's how Wellington Mara felt, Len. And so I hear you. I hear you because he did never – I mean, I don't care if it was tiddlywinks. He did not want to lose to the Jets. And you know that.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
We'll be talking again.
All right, Len.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You really upset Len.
It seemed like it. And I just – you know, here's the thing. You know, we talked about the offensive line at the beginning of the show, Anita.
I think Len needs a hug right now.
Probably. And look, I appreciate. I'm not taking light his disgust with the team because they were miserable. Coach Coughlin said he was concerned. He's not happy. Obviously, why should he be? But you have to break down everything into individual units and then individual players. And I do like this center. J.T. Walton is showing me that he can play center in this league and he can do it effectively and he can be healthy. So. That's a good thing. I like what I see out of Corey Washington. I like what I saw. Adrian Robinson actually made a couple of catches on the game-winning drive the other night. That was a pretty cool eye-opener. The fact that Nassib is showing that he's a competent backup quarterback in this league, that's a good thing. You know, there were some things we're seeing here. I think Jameel McClain is showing me he's a really good linebacker. I like him. Jaquan Williams has had a terrific preseason. You know, there are some things here that, you know, you have to look at and say, okay, this team's going to play 16 games. We're going to watch this team for 16 games. Are there some guys that you can hang your hat on? Are there some reasons to say to yourself, okay, they're going to put some quality ball on the field? And that's what you need to do when you see a horror show like you did last weekend. You can't just sit there and stew in the horrible, horrible misery. After all, it was only a preseason game. My goodness. Is this odd for me to actually try to talk somebody else off the ledge?
It is. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rocky in Florida. Rocky, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, Rocky?
Well, I have to agree that was about the worst three quarters of football I've seen. But like you said, John, you can't roll over. You got to keep moving on. But I like the point you made yesterday, Paul, about everybody keeps saying they're concerned about Eli throwing off his back foot and looking like the old Eli with the poor mechanics and the erratic throws or whatever. And I think part of that is because Hill's sitting back there and he don't trust them other backs to pick up the blitz, so he starts getting a little skittish.
Well, Anita's a fan of Hill's. Why don't you tell these folks how important Hillis is to that running back core?
How am I a fan of Hillis? when have I been a fan of Hillis?
Because you appreciate how fundamentally sound he is and what he brings to the table.
The one thing that I do like about Hillis is the fact that you could utilize him as a running back and a fullback. I mean, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that you can do that with. I mean, I think we're in agreement here that Hanowski's going to win the quote-unquote fullback position.
I think so.
Yeah, over John Connor. But it's always great to have another running back in your core that you could implement and use as a fullback if Hanowski needs a break or, you know, allows you to be creative with your offensive scheme. So that's what I like how versatile he is.
But I think it's also fair to say you realize how important his pass protection is. We've talked about this for 2 years. He's the best of the running backs in pass pro.
Well, any running back who wants to pass protect, I think, is big for the Giants.
Yeah, I'm real big on Hillis, and I'm really glad we brought him back in. But
to see him on the field because he's had a sprained ankle now for a couple of weeks and hasn't been able to play.
Right, practice.
And that's not so good.
Right, but I'm going to try to hurry this up because I want to peel back that onion for you here, Paul.
Okay.
Like Drew said, on that left side, it's weak. And you said something yesterday about Hughes, an all-pro guard and an okay tackle coming out of college. Remember we projected him to play guard?
Yes.
And he had those little T-Rex arms. I think he's got the shortest arms in the league of any tackle at, 31 and a half or something?
Okay, go ahead.
And Coughlin even said we got to move around. And when Brown kept struggling, I was wondering why they just kept letting him keep the first team reps. I was like, why don't you go ahead and shift you over there? Because, I mean, he's been playing out of position. He did better than I thought he would at that right tackle spot all year last year.
Right.
And when that guy blowed around him the other night, and imagine if that was Robert Mathis, I'm getting a little concerned. And like with Schwartz at that left guard, when Kyle Williams did that stunt, he's 340 pounds. He's just not fast enough and agile like a guard needs to be to handle them stunts like that. And Hughes only, 301? He's our littlest lineman. And from the get-go, I wanted our line to be Betty, Hugh, Walton, Richburg, Schwartz. I think if they would just go with that lineup, problem solved, and we won't have to worry about this other line no more. Because Schwartz has struggled to me from that left guard. I know that knee might be some of it, but I would feel a lot better, and I bet Betty would too, if he had Hugh right there. And Hugh, that's his natural position over there on that left side. I know he'd be guard, but I think that makes a lot more sense than everything else I've seen or heard.
Well, let's put it to you this way, and appreciate the call, Rocky. We're going to answer this question now while we let you go. I will say this. The Giants staff has thought long and hard about different combinations of what offensive line lineup they would like to use. They've also thought about different alternatives should certain things not fall into place. What they believe is right now, the best case scenario at the tackles is if Beattie's healthy and can play well, that he mans the left side, and that Pugh continues to develop as a young right tackle. That's where they, that's where they think they're best suited, but there are other combinations that they would look at. In fact, as we've already told you, they're looking at Richburg, perhaps, at moving into one of the starting guard spots. I understand there are a lot of different ways you could go here. There are various reasons why they will or will not try some of them. I personally believe had they procured a better backup left tackle than the guys they got, they may be in less of a bind to worry about some of this stuff, but that's not what it is. And so I do know they have a very strong reluctance to flop Pugh to left tackle. I do know that. It is on the board as a possibility. It is one they really do not wish to use. They kind of feel as though he's done a pretty good job there at right tackle. Let's leave well enough alone. And that's about all I can say there.
All right, I do believe we have two more calls I want to get in before we have to sign off. We've got two more
minutes. Do we have to go at 10:30 or can we go to 45?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's try to rock and roll these guys. So Keyshawn from Maryland, welcome.
Oh, my God, Anita, you always destroy my name. It's Keyshawn. It's Keyshawn, C-A-S-H-A-W-N.
Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. Hi, guys. If I could have, like, 70 seconds for my soliloquy because I've been trying to get through for the past 2 days. I concur with majority of what the fans have said, and I think that enough attention hasn't been displayed on Eli. When I watched that game, it was very disturbing to watch the play of Eli. Like, he looks like he has no poise in the pocket. He looks rushed. He looks flustered. He looks like he has no confidence. And it doesn't matter. There's talent on this team. You know, it's evident of that. But if the quarterback, the play of the quarterback is not at least at a competent level, we're in trouble. And it's getting to the point now where the Giants are, they're disheartening to watch. I mean, they were very depressing to watch last year, and I really haven't seen anything in the preseason to change that. There are some good things on defense, but I am extremely concerned with the play of the offense. I mean, they look really bad. And I was telling Stephen Shakes, like, the way they played against the Colts, it looks like they look like a team that if they won six games, I would consider that a success. I mean, that's how awful they looked. And my concern is if we start off 0-3, 0-4, the season's over. And so, you know, some fans are like, oh, it's preseason. I know, Paul, that you keep saying for us not to hone so much into the games, but the preseason doesn't matter, but it does matter. I mean, show me something to give me some type of hope that this offense can produce in this league. I mean, and I'm going to be looking at this Jets game. If they don't put a drive together, and I'm talking about the first team, if they don't put at least a drive and score a touchdown, I think we're in a major trouble. And the only consolation that I could come up with is that I watched the rest of the division, and their offenses, besides, you know, Dallas' offense looks good, but they can't stop a nosebleed on defense, is that Washington and Philly are having some problems as well. But Washington's defense is very good. And so I'm just really, really concerned. I don't know what they're doing up there in Jersey. And then I read an article that Eli says, oh, he's not worried. They did some good things. No, you should be worried, because I don't know what he's seeing, but he has not had a completion this whole preseason. I don't think. If he did, it was maybe for a yard or two. But it's really bad. So and like the other fans say, I would really like to see Corey Washington get first team reps. With I want to see that chemistry at least build with Eli. And the defense, and I'll say this last thing, JPP, he looks like he's coming along, but when I watched the tape on the Colts, he looked very clumsy, like he was stumbling over himself, like he was right there, like he was like a millisecond too late to get to the quarterback. But it looks like he's lost a little bit of body control, and I think if he can just, you know, clean that up a little bit, he'll be back to the player that he was. And the defense, like you said, Paul, is predicated on the secondary, you know, creating turnovers, but they can't cover forever. So there has to be at least some amount of pressure And that's all I have to say. Like, I'm really concerned about this offense. And like me, I don't want a slow death. You know, if I'm going to die, you know, kill me quickly. So that's why I'm more concerned. Like, I don't want to wait until week six to say, oh, yeah, you know, the season's over. No. If we start off off on a bad foot, I think we need to hit a major reset button, and they're going to have to clean house. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Wow, I mean, so much to address there. She's concerned. Well, if you've been listening to the show for the past hour, yeah, so are we. And so should Giants fans. Giants fans should be concerned. I think Eli Manning needs to say those things because that's the politically correct thing. What is he supposed to say? Oh, jeez. You know, we're just horrible. And we only have 2 more weeks to get ready for the Detroit Lions. I mean, he's trying to be publicly optimistic, which you would expect out of Eli Manning. But behind closed doors, do I think that he's not sleeping at night? Yeah, I do. I don't think Eli is sleeping at night. I think there's some major concerns there. I'm trying to think what else she hit on. I mean, she hit on a number of good to come in and clean house. That's what they did. I mean, there's so many new faces here. I still walk around the building and I'm like, hey, who's that? I mean, there's a lot of new faces here. New offense. You're not going to clean house 1 year, and then just because it doesn't work that 1 year, then clean house again. That's really not how the NFL operates. So they have to be committed to this, and they have to be committed to Ben McAdoo, and they have to be committed to try to get this West Coast offense integrated here. Now, I don't know, maybe it takes more than a year. Maybe it takes two. Maybe it takes three. But this is a very prideful organization and a prideful franchise, and the fan base has been used to winning, or at least in it to win it, or in it to try to make it to the postseason more times than not. And so, you know, I think that's going to be a very difficult pill to swallow if the Giants only end up winning 3 or 4 games this season. And that very well can happen right now, Paul.
Well, Anita, the only thing that I would say to everybody who's concerned, Len included, is that I've been around this game a long, long, long time. And trust me when I tell you that everybody here, whether it's Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin, the scouts, the personnel guys, they're all working their butts off because there's a lot of effort being spent here trying to get things right. You know, I've been around some players and some teams at times that didn't always feel that way, that win at all costs, improve at all costs, we have to fix this. This team does. And so while the results have not been very good to this point, nobody would dispute that. What I can tell you, and it is indisputable, everybody from top to bottom in that locker room is working their butts off to try to find the answers to help this team win. That I can tell you without any hesitation whatsoever. And if you can't hang your hat on that, that's okay. I understand. You see what you see, you don't like what you see, you're entitled to feel that way. But if it gives you any sense of comfort or confidence, know that Eli Manning may be the hardest working quarterback in the league, certainly one of them, if not the. And Tom Coughlin is certainly the hardest working head coach in the league, that I'll tell you right now, because I know people around the league who tell me that. I don't need to just see it with my own eyes. And so I'd rather put my trust and faith in those guys, if I were you, than just saying, well, it looks bad. Okay, there's no hope. It's going to be gloom and doom. I'd like to know that the guys who are responsible for the results on the field are trying everything they can do to make it work, and I think these guys are.
I'm excited for Friday. Hopefully, Odell Beckham Jr. will be able to suit up and play, hopefully today at practice. By the way, a little switch up here. Players are typically available to us before practice. Today they are not. So we're going to talk to the players after practice. I believe, what time does practice start again?
Today? Yeah, I'm looking for this now. I was unaware that we had a little change. 12 o'clock, okay.
So practice starts at 12 o'clock, and all eyes on Odell Beckham Jr. Hopefully he suits up, he goes out there, and he participates not only in just special teams, but the wide receiving core. I think that's going to be a true indication as what we can expect from him in Friday's game against the Jets, if he's going to suit up at all. And we'll go from there, right?
Yeah, that's all we can do. The Giants are going to move forward, and that's what we have to do, too.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate all the calls. You guys rock today. And stay tuned to Giants.com. All the post-practice interviews will be up on that site a little bit later. And get a feel for how the players are looking forward to this Jets game on Friday. Have a great day, everybody.